We're going to just take a little bit this morning to talk about the only voice that matters, which is the voice of God. A while ago, I was doing a little hike in Tilbach, and a couple of us were trying to find a place to picnic, and we, after a long time, we found this beautiful area, and we sat down, we had a big picnic. Then me and my one friend, Joe, we saw that there was a bit of a higher ridge, and we climbed up to this higher ridge, and we found a waterfall. And it was this epic moment where me and Joe, being hot and sweaty and stinky and salty and thirsty, we looked at each other, and we didn't come dressed for a swim, but we got onto our underpants, and we, like, awkwardly made our way to this waterfall. Dan, you can put up the epic picture of the waterfall over there. That isn't the waterfall. That's an AI image. That's the actual waterfall. But the waterfall was, as you can see, it's a bit of an awkward waterfall. We had to kind of shimmy across and half put our bodies underneath it. And finally, there was this moment when, after a long day in the sun and being tired and hungry, when you get hit by fresh, cold river water, it just wakes you up. Who's experienced that before? Like, it could be the same thing as a cold shower. Suddenly you just get woken up. And this morning there was actually quite a thread of the prophetic about being woken up that Bronwyn started this whole sermon with, about awake from your slumber. And that is one way to get woken up. When that water comes, it cleans you. It washes you clean. And I was thirsty. I just opened my mouth and I could just drink. And in a lot of ways, I find that the voice of God is like this waterfall. It's like a cleansing thing that makes us come alive, and that we were made for, we were designed for. And it's funny, like, you know, we often don't really speak a lot about hearing the voice of God, but if you're at the gym or if you're in a shop and you go up to somebody and you say, like a stranger, you say, hey, like, you know, I was speaking to God or I was praying, they won't really say much. They'll probably be like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's good to pray. It's good to have a personal faith. It's good to believe in religion. God bless you, right? That's probably the result. Until you tell them that God spoke back. That's when they suddenly put you into the category of a crazy person. You are now officially a fruitcake. If God has spoken to you, you are nuts. But that's what the whole thing is about, guys. That's what this is all about. It's about a two-way relationship. Us and God talking back to us. Otherwise, it's just a one-way street. And Jesus didn't die for us to have a one-way street. He didn't tear the curtain in the temple to have a one-way street where we just sit here and we say things to the man upstairs and we don't ever hear anything back. That is not what the Bible speaks about. That's what the New Testament speaks about. Instead, God has a desire for us to know his voice and to hear his voice deeply and intimately. So we're going to dive into that a little bit this morning. And hopefully by the end of this, we're all going to have heard from God individually and as a team. Is that cool? So some people struggle with the idea that does God speak? And all I will say is open the Bible, and from the beginning to the end, it's recorded that God speaks. Adam and Eve, what were they doing? Say that again, my man.
Walking with God in the Garden of Eden.
Walking with God, literally walking and talking. They were walking and talking with God. So the plan was always relational. It was always that we are going to be walking and talking with God in the cool of the garden. If you look at Elijah in the Bible, there was a huge storm, a huge fire, a huge earthquake, and God's voice wasn't in that, but his voice came in a tiny, what they call a still small voice. That's when he heard God. So God speaks through different types of things. And in the New Testament, he's speaking all over the place. He hasn't stopped speaking. So some people believe that. They're like, oh no, God has stopped now. He's blue-ticked us. God has officially blue-ticked the world, and it's from now it's just over to us. That's not what the Bible actually says. Even in the Revelation, Jesus is still speaking all the time. And now as a church, As us sitting here, God speaks. He speaks in different ways, and he speaks in mysterious ways as well. So I want to take a moment to speak a little bit about how does God speak. And I've got a scripture, Job 33:14, to pop up over there. The key thing for me, here we're going to read this. For God does speak, now one way, now another. The man may not perceive it. So God does speak. Sometimes he speaks like this. Sometimes he speaks like that. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, it also kind of breaks down further. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So no one ever told me this, that hearing God's voice, it's not a science. It's not like a formula, like 1 + 1 = 2. It's way more like an art form. It's way more like there's mystery around it. We just read now, we only hear in part. So nobody in this room has the full picture of God's voice 24/7. Sometimes he speaks like this, sometimes he speaks like that. But he speaks. He wants to speak. He is speaking. Ian said a really cool thing the other day. God's like a radio. He's always on. You just got to find the right frequency. So I made a little pie chart over here. Let's pop that pie chart on there for me, Dan, of ways God communicates. This is not exhaustive, but you probably can't read that because we've got a weirdly shaped data projector. But I'll just take us through it. So up at the top, through scripture, these are some examples. That inner, still, small voice. Okay, so hands up in this room. If you primarily hear God in like an inner, still, small voice, if that's you. Okay, bunch of hands are going up. What about you primarily hear God through the Bible? So that's how a lot of the ways he speaks to you. Hands up for that. And you can have your hand up multiple times. You can answer all of these guys, multiple choice. Other Christians. So God primarily speaks to you through other Christians. It's like prophecy and encouragement, and somebody will just randomly send Brendan a message and say, hey, I thought of you this morning, and God speaks to you through that, which is totally cool. Dreams and visions. Hands up if that's one of the ways God speaks to you a lot. We've got Kevin over there. Cool, cool, cool. For the record, that's never me. I've had like 3 dreams in my life, so I envy you people. Creation. You're out there in nature. A whole bunch of hands are going up. God speaks to you through creation. You're out there and you're getting that. Then art and music, so created things. When you're listening to a song, I mean, God, this is one of the big ways God speaks to me, through art, through music. The audible voice of God. Who here hears the audible voice of God? Hands up. Cool, we got one. Unfortunately, we got two. Nsiki isn't here, but he was having a bride at the night at our house. He's like, that's the only way I hear from God. I'm like, are you serious? So that's how he hears from God. Guys, he gets woken up in the night. Even ask B wakes up as well because he hears it. Like, and then and speaks to Nsiki. It's bewildering. I wish he was here, but he's not here this morning. So Nsiki, you better listen to this recording, bro. Okay, I wrote the other 2.8 because I mean, in the Bible, there's crazy things that happen how God speaks. And then donkeys, 0.1%. Who here? Does God speak through donkeys? We got Deshan at the back there. Thank you, Deshan. Representing. Deshan's out there. So he speaks in a multitude of ways, and I mean that. Angels, like there's a lot of ways he can talk to us. He can use anything. He used a donkey in the story of the Bible. So let's not imagine that there's a box. Like the Bible doesn't speak about God in a box, but we put him in a box. But actually, there is no box when it comes to God. There's donkeys and angels and storms and stuff, but there's no box. So be open to him speaking to you in any way, through anything, at any time. Remember, he's that radio and he wants to speak. But what does he say? What does God say when he speaks to us? Well, there's a lot of different things, obviously, he will say. And some examples is like a big kind of directional word. So, Dan, you can put that picture back up of the waterfall, the epic one. Not the lame one. Okay, so you can just keep that up there. So, if you imagine a waterfall and you imagine a wind, Sometimes God's voice will be like a wind blowing us. The Bible says that the Spirit is like a wind and we follow him. So sometimes he'll give you a big directional word, right? Like Andrew said, he a few years ago felt God say, move to America, move to San Clemente and go and start your whole life over there. That's a big one. That's like a gust that blows and changes your whole life. And it's like it blows you in that direction and off you go, right? That's not so much what I'm speaking about this morning. Instead of the wind, I'm imagining the waterfall. This is the sustaining voice of God. This is the bread voice of God. And there's a scripture which says, Matthew 4:4. If you can imagine a voice that sustains us, it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Can you guys read out the rest of that? But on? So, if you're not getting every word that comes from the mouth of God, what does that mean for you? You're going to starve, and you're not really living, actually. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we have a picture here that unless you're hearing God speak to Janisha, you're not actually fully living in what he's called you to. You're being malnourished. You're being starved. And he says that we are his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. That's a promise that I've held on to in times, and I felt like, oh, I don't know if I hear God. I'm like, wait a second. I'm his sheep. I'm a Christian. Therefore, I will hear his voice. So you don't have to stress about it and be like, I never hear God. Actually, are you positioned to hear God is a better question. So he's speaking his waterfall over you. And how do we know what the content of that is? Well, that's where we heard Luke 2 weeks ago speak about God as the good shepherd. So he's speaking to his sheep, and he's the good shepherd. In other words, he's going to be saying everything over Michael De Beer that is from a place of love. He will never say something to you that is intended to harm and kill and destroy you. That is the work of the enemy. But God is love. So everything he says, everything he communicates through those dreams and visions and audible voices and donkeys, it's from a place of love for you to benefit from that, for a hope and a future. However, that can look like him telling you to do something very uncomfortable. Love doesn't mean soft and cushy. Love doesn't mean my preferences or my comfort zone. That's a misunderstanding of what people think love is. Love is whatever is going to be the best thing for you in the will of God. That's what he will say over your life. And when you hear the voice of God, you then have the faith to go and do that thing. And here's a classic example. Imagine if God asked you to do something really, really challenging. If you know it's God, you have to have faith to go do it. Look at Jesus. When he started the whole thing, his whole thing, what happened in the river? He was there being baptized. What did God know he needs right now? The voice of God. And Salah, what did God say over Jesus in that moment? No pressure.
This is my son with whom I'm well pleased with.
Round of applause for that guy. He was paying attention. Luckily, he wasn't scrolling, eh? He wasn't on TikTok. This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased, right? So he affirmed, he validated the waterfall of God's love and his voice right in that moment over Jesus. What happened to Jesus 3 years ago, 3 years later? He was on a cross hanging there, guys, in the middle of God's will. He was in the center of God's will. But he heard the voice of God. It sustained him. Throughout the time, he kept hearing God's voice. He kept hearing his validation. He kept needing that. And the same is true for us. So it can be very uncomfortable. The cross is the most uncomfortable place. But it was exactly where God wanted him to be in that moment. And thankfully, Jesus did it and didn't run away. And now we are all living in the fruit of that resurrection and that crucifixion. So it grows us, it validates us, it heals us, it frees us, guys. And it is the thing that I would say is going to help us mature the most is regularly feeding on the voice of God, like that loaf of bread, and eating of the daily bread. Like we just read that Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone. But here's a question. In this room now, how many of us are malnourished Christians sitting here now? If we could put on these spiritual goggles now and look and see, how many of us are malnourished? Like our ribs are sticking out and our bones are so thin and we're just sitting here and we're so malnourished because we're not positioned and we're not believing when he speaks and we don't even know sometimes that it is him speaking and validating and affirming us. And that's what God wants to address and say, guys, we don't need to be malnourished. He wants to meet our needs and change us. I wrote up here, under the waterfall, our issues are drowned out. The other day, I was chatting to somebody in church, and they were saying how they struggle because they don't feel like people notice them in the church. It's valid. Valid, very valid. They walked through the door, and someone that they've known for many years didn't greet them. And they were super bummed. Valid. I mean, that's hurt. I've probably done that to you guys as well, and you've probably done it to me, and it's a thing, right? However, when you are under the validation of God regularly, and under the eyes of God, where God notices you, it doesn't matter if someone sees you or not. It doesn't matter. When you are being noticed by God, you can be overlooked for your whole life, and it doesn't matter. I've semi been in this space myself. I mean, I've been in Joshua for like 20 years. For a large part of that time, I was out on my own mission, like trying to be noticed by the world and do all kinds of things, and I struggled, and I felt overlooked, and it was lame. Until, I don't know, the last 5 years or so, I've stepped more into the waterfall. I awkwardly climbed into that little small one, and I sat there, and I was, awesome, God's voice, my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Then, I can't hear what's going on outside there. When you're standing in the waterfall, you can't even see outside of that water. It's so powerful. Doesn't matter what's going on. And when I walk into church and someone doesn't greet me, I don't even notice it anymore. I'm just like in my own zone. Hopefully, I will greet others out of the overflow. But if you are malnourished and you're walking around, you're like, is someone going to greet me? Who's going to greet me? You're going to get hurt because you're coming to people for something only God can give. That is when you come to leaders and you say to the leader, tell me who I am. You come up to Adam and Ellie and you sit in counseling with them and you say, I'm struggling. Tell me who I am in God. I need to hear who I am. And there's a place for that and they will guide you, but they can only take you so far. They can only literally point you to the bread and say, that's what you need. You need to eat the bread of life. But you're running around here asking everybody for bread and back home your dad's a baker. Get Pentecostal in here. Let's get Pentecostal. And I mean it, guys. And that's been me. I think that's been all of us at times. But I feel like it needs to end. It needs to end. And it's going to be a journey for our whole lives, obviously. But there needs to come a moment when we realize, I can get this from the Holy Spirit himself, from the Father. That's the voice I need. And, I mean, even for the people who are the pastors in this church, you'll do them a favor because suddenly they're not going to be trying to say the same thing to all of us a million times when we go to the Father and he says it once and it changes us and it allows us to go all the way to the cross and die and then be resurrected. So, that little activation we did this morning with the enemy, the flesh, the world. What was the one on the stage? The phone. Without going into a whole lot, but just to touch on that, is that we have to be positioned to hear God. And when Kamal was sitting here and there was a lot going on, could you hear what was going on in that last? You couldn't hear anything, right? It was all just one big mess. And guys, that's part of it. So we do need to, I've got some S's here for us. Silence the enemy. Silence that voice, the voice of the accuser. Scripture says we demolish arguments and take captive every thought to make it obedient. So you take that thing captive, right? So we silence the enemy. We starve the flesh. So you know, if you're sitting there, if you're watching dodgy stuff that's just eroding your faith and eroding you. And even the other night, like 2 nights ago, I was watching this thing called Slow Horses on Apple TV. Really cool. Season 1, season 2 was great. And then I felt the Lord say to me, dude, it's gone too far, bro. Like, it's starting to get dodgy. Like, just the language and the worldview of the flesh. It's coming, it's like, it's just not worth it for me. And I was like, oh, this is such a good show. This is like 2 nights ago. So I've got to hear it. Now I've said it on the microphone. Damn it, I've got to give that thing up. It's worth it, man. It's worth it. I'll lay that thing down. Who cares? Who cares? If it's going to allow me to not be malnourished, I'll totally not watch that show. And then we've got to be separate from the world. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So the Bible says don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. So silence the enemy, starve the flesh, separate ourselves from the ways of the world, right? We're obviously living in this planet, so we can't go up to separate like that, but separate yourself spiritually. And then the last one is the phone. What's the last S? I mean, I've kind of already used silence. So I just said stop. Stop the phone. Take a break from your phone. I mean, when you're sitting here at Carmel, then that phone is just, it's not even articulate. It's just a psh, psh, psh. So whatever that looks like for you, take a moment to try and, like Jesus, where it said he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We've got to find that lonely place so we can hear and not be malnourished and we can feed. Is that cool? All right. So now, guys, we're in 22 minutes of this message. We're going to look at some scripture. We're going to look at this epic story from the Bible together. So don't fall asleep now. Who's falling asleep? Yeah, Noah, just tell them to wake up for me, bro.
Wake up.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, let's put up that scripture there. Samuel, please, bro. Did I give it to you? So, we've spoken about hearing God. We've spoken about what does he say? How does he say it? Through all kinds of ways. This is a very important part right here. We're going to read the story together. This is from the Old Testament. Just some context. There's a dude named Eli. He's basically like a holy priest kind of person. He's like, where's Malcolm? There we go, Malcolm. Put up your hand for me, please, sir. Malcolm over there. He's used to hearing the voice of God, and he is essentially the leader of the spiritual world in Israel. And he gets this newcomer who is very green and doesn't know anything about hearing God's voice yet. And that dude's name is Samuel, and he's staying in the same place as Eli. Hanu, stand up for me, Hanu. Here we go. Hanu's our Samuel. There we go, Hanu. Okay, so we've got a Hanu. You may sit. Thank you, Hanu. Okay, so Hanu, Samuel is now staying with Eli. And then one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me, my son." Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You know what's so weird about the story? Why didn't God just tell Samuel the first time, Samuel, this is God? Why didn't he just say, Samuel, this is God. Say, speak, for I am listening. Why didn't he say that? I don't know. I mean, no one really knows. The end. Coffee at the back. What I do know is that it took an Eli for Samuel to perceive the voice of God. It took him going to someone else, to Eli, and saying, I heard something. Can you help me? And Eli then said, hang on a second. This sounds like God. This sounds like the voice of God. We need each other, guys, to help us hearing and perceiving the voice of God. We definitely need each other in those big winds, those hurricanes, it says move to San Clemente, right? Where the consequences of getting that wrong are massive, or move to anywhere in the world. We need to hear the Lord. And we need each other for that. But equally we need each other to help us know if we heard God's voice right. If Samuel didn't go to Eli, he probably would not be this character in the Bible that we all know about. He would have just ignored the voice of God. And I've got a story of when I heard the voice of God. And it's a bit of a vulnerable story, a raw story. But it illustrates the point. So you just need to know a little bit of background of my life. Is that for a long period of my life, I was caught up in pornography. I was exposed at a young age, and I struggled. I was enslaved for many years. And I remember the first time I looked in the mirror and I heard God speak to me as a young boy, kind of like Samuel. And he just said, you're not a man. You're not a man. You're not a godly man. You're not what a man is for doing this thing. And I was like, yo, okay, I hear you, God. I definitely feel that, and I feel super lame, and now I feel even worse. And I carried on my life, and I lived for decades. Until about 5 years ago, I sat down with a counselor in our church, Liz East, the classic. And somehow I started relating the story to Liz, and I didn't even think that was a big deal. I didn't even know it was, I still remembered it, but I somehow did. And I said to her, and I just heard God say, like, I'm not a man. And she said, hang on, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like God. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and she said, that sounds like the voice of the enemy accusing you, holding you back. And slowly, that little lie got pulled out of my mind, got disentangled. A lie that had essentially shaped a lot of my life and made me feel like, I don't have much to offer in the Christian world, and I'm not a godly man. I'm not going to be some person that's out there doing things for God. I'm just going to do my own thing. And I allowed it. I didn't take it captive. I didn't even know it wasn't the Lord. And it shaped me. It bent me out of shape. It influenced a lot of me. And then through the Holy Spirit and through another person, that voice was silenced. That voice was silenced, just like this moment earlier when Liz went, shh. And it was stopped. And I could start to be nourished in that aspect of my life, of what the Father was to say about me. Actually, you are a son. You are a man. You are validated. You are affirmed. And speak identity. And I'd heard that stuff in the past, but for some reason, it would just bounce off. So God wants us to hear his voice. We need one another to hear his voice. Without hearing his voice, we are going to be malnourished. But when we do position ourselves under that waterfall, everything can change, guys. And I mean regularly, daily, He wants to speak. He wants to speak to us in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. He's speaking to us right now through the Word, through worship.